Hello everybody and welcome back to the show. Today we will talk about the past, which we can only read in rocks. And when I mean past, I mean the period of Jurassic and Late Cretaceous. And when people often hear those words, Jurassic and Cretaceous, they will automatically think about dinosaurs like the T-Rex or the giant 20 meters high Diplodocus. And however, if you've seen the recent Jurassic World movies, you sure noticed the rare appearances of the only marine dinosaur in it, which is by the way enormous and looks like a crocodile. And its name, at several times it will be said in the series, is the Mosasaurus, and it will be described in this episode, as well as other dinosaurs and life forms from the same period of time. First, to give you a little idea of the Lego model that Earth was looking like at the time, let me explain the context. So, during the Jurassic, Earth's climate changed from hot and dry to humid and subtropical. It lasted 199 to 145 million years ago, and was characterized by dinosaurs, birds and rodents. There were sea monsters, sharks and blood-red plankton all over the place, and forests of ferns, cycads and conifers were quite common. Warm, moist, tropical breezes were blowing constantly throughout this piece of land. Life, as it always done, was trying out new life forms in this Jurassic Cretaceous period. And this period, which is characterized by a shifting climate and a brand new ocean domain, to try them out. And at the start of the period, the supercontinent Pangaea was continuing to break up and accelerating. Its northern half, the Laurasia, broke up into North America and Eurasia. The southern half, the Gondwana, began to break up by the mid-Jurassic. The eastern portion was splitting from the western half, and this allowed new oceans to flood in the space between. The mountain started to rose on the seafloor, which was also pushing sea levels higher and also onto the continents. This is why all this water changed the previously hot and dry climate to a humid and subtropical feel. Dry deserts slowly took on a greener hue, palm tree-like cycads were abundant, as were conifers such as araucaria and pines. Ginkgos, which are characteristic, carpeted the mid to high northern latitudes, and podocarps were particularly successful south of the equator. Tree ferns were also present. Oceans, especially the newly formed shallow interior seas, teemed with diverse and abundant life. At the top of the food chain were the long-necked and paddle-finned plesiosaurs, giant marine crocodiles, which was the size of a bus, sharks and rays. Fish-like ichthyosaurs, squid-like cephalopods, and coral-shelled ammonites were abundant as well. Coral reefs grew in the warm waters and sponges, snails and mollusks flourished. Microscopic free-floating plankton proliferated so much that they had turned some parts of the ocean completely red. Let's take a look at the biodiversity. So on land, dinosaurs were making their mark in a big way, literally. The plant-eating sauropod Brachiosaurus was studding up 16 meters and were long by 26 meters. It was weighing more than 80 tons, which is enormous. The earliest known bird, Archaeopteryx, took to the skies in the late Jurassic. Archaeopteryx had to compete for airspace with Pterosaurus, flying reptiles that had been buzzing the skies since the late Triassic. Meanwhile, insects such as leafhoppers and beetles were abundant, and many of Earth's earliest animals scurried around dinosaur feet, ignorant that their kind would come to dominate Earth once the dinosaurs will be wiped out at the end of the Cretaceous. A good trace of this ancient ecosystem is held in the rocks by fossils of ammonites. So, a piece of fossilized seabed featuring ammonites from that period has just been added to the museum's collection, the museum from Dorset, and it was found on the Jurassic coast, a 95-mile stretch of coastline, with rocks recording 185 million years of our planet's history. As another evidence of life during the Jurassic, we have ancient ammonite fossils from the Museum of Dorset, which were recently added to the collection, and they were 199 million years old, though this corresponds exactly to the period of Jurassic and Late Cretaceous. The sea around the landmass, which is now Britain, was the home of marine reptiles, large snails, and ancient crustaceans and sea urchins. Today the sea is cold and dark, but in the time of these Ammonites' evidence, it would have been significantly warmer. If you travelled back in time, the coastline itself would be unrecognizable to modern eyes. In the Jurassic period, most of what later became Britain was under the sea, apart from Scotland, East Anglia, and the series of small islands in the southwest. Ammonites ranged in size from just a few centimeters to as large as bicycle wheels. They were predators, stalking and feeding on crustaceans and other sea creatures. They were using long arms that would extend from their hard shells. Large reptiles would have lived alongside ammonites, including ichthyosaurs and long-necked plesiosaurs. The reason why there's so much ammonites fossils in the Dorset Museum is because these fossilized ammonites can be found all over Dorset coastline. Professor Richard Twitchett, which is a museum paleontologist, says that at this time, the marine ecosystem would have been relatively diverse, with large snails, brachiopods, burrowing creatures, fish and reptiles, and it would have been a shallow shelf seafloor. It was probably a calm environment, away from the shore and below any wave activity. Professor Richard is studying the fossils on the Jurassic coast to understand how future changes to the climate could impact marine ecosystems. The ammonites that were living about 2 million years after a large mass extinction even caused by volcanic activity accumulating, as the ancient landmass Pangaea started to break up. The volcanoes released large amounts of carbon dioxide into the air. It is estimated that more than 50% of marine genera were wiped out, including some large marine reptiles and reef-building creatures. These fossils found help researchers understand how ecosystem recovered following sudden environmental changes. And by understanding this recover, we could maybe apply it to today, to us. Richard says, this slab is almost a seafloor frozen in time, and it was a really critical time in Earth history. And in fact, it was part of Earth extinctions. Using these observation and technique, Richard can track data from historic extinction events and periods of warming in our planet's history, and by looking for patterns and similar responses in each affected ecosystem, he can begin to understand how climate change might impact marine ecosystem in the future and the way that it does. It was also the time where the Mosasaurus was swimming in these waters, so the Mosasaurus was a powerful predator that could grow up to 50 feet in length. It had a long streamlined body with four flippers and a tail that helped it move through the water with ease. Its most distinctive feature was its large conical teeth, which was used to catch and eat its prey. Mosasaurus was a carnivore that lived in the open ocean and near coastal areas. It was the absolute apex predator, meaning it was at the top of the food chain and nobody was trying to challenge it. And likely, he fed on a variety of prey, including fish, squid, other marine reptiles, and lookalike sharks of the time. Recent studies have suggested that the Mosasaurus may have been more social than previously thought. Fossil evidence has shown that they may have traveled in groups and even cared for their young. The Mosasaurus was an incredible creature that roamed the seas millions of years ago. From its powerful jaws to its massive size, it was a true giant of the ocean. I hope you enjoyed learning about the fascinating creatures that lived during this time, from the giant sauropods to the Mosasaurus that once roamed the oceans. You can check out the references in the show notes for additional resources. If you want, you can answer the question of this episode. It helps me to know better what topic to study next that will be interesting for you. I hope you enjoyed learning about the Mosasaurus and the late Cretaceous and Jurassic period of time in the oceans, and I'll speak to you next time.